ധ്യയമുദ്ഗളാപകുണ്ഡനപതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാം ഈശ്വരീം. So Krishna gives another important shloka, an important point in the fourth shloka, in the next shloka. Na karmana manarambhat,
na karmana manarambhat,
naishkarmyam purushoshnute,
naishkarmyam purushoshnute,
na cha sanyasana deva. It is not sannyasa, sannyasana deva. There is no sannyasa. Sannyasana deva. Siddhim samadhi gacchati.
Siddhim samadhi gacchati.
So Shankara, in his introductory commentary to this particular shloka, he says, he gives a view that we may think jnana and karma can be continued together. Karma and jnana, jnana karma samuchayam it's called. Like when jnana and karma are merged or harmonized and a person tries to do them both, then it's called jnana karma samuchayam. So such a samuchayam is being refuted by Krishna in this shloka. So what Shankara tells. So Shankara gives an alternative interpretation as well. That here, like since Krishna spoke about two nishtas as jnana yogena sankhyanam and karma yogena yoginam. So Krishna now is telling that just because a person is in one of the path, just because a person follows one of those, he may not realize. That means it's not exactly a path, it is the attitude that is more important than the path. So Krishna says, na karmanam anarambhat, karmanam anarambhat, karmanam anarambhat. Anarambhat means not starting. Karmanam of karma. So not starting of karma, not doing any karma. Naishkarmyam purushah na ashnute. Purushah, a purusha. Naishkarmyam, the state of naishkarmyam, the state of actionless or actionlessness, that state na ashnute, doesn't attain. So merely by not doing action, a person cannot attain the state of naishkarmyam. So, jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So, the goal to be achieved is through karma, nishkama karmam, and then the state of naishkarmyam through jnanam, and then moksha. So, that naishkarmyam, if karma is so much a trouble, if karma is so much a trouble, then why should I even do karma? I'll just follow jnana, I don't need any karma. Somebody says like that, then that's not how it works. So a person cannot directly jump into jnana. If a person has to jump like into jnana, then he needs to already have got purity of mind. So chitta shuddhi is a prerequisite for jnanam. If chitta shuddhi is not there, then jnanam will not be paripurnam. So therefore, we cannot directly jump. So we may be able to jump, but we'll break our legs. Means like we will be following jnana, but still it will be of no use. It will be of no avail. So that is what Krishna says here. So if you think that just by not doing action, just by crossing over action, you can attain the state of naishkarmyam, then that's not how it works. So karmana manarambhat naishkarmyam purushah na ashnute. A person doesn't attain the state of naishkarmyam just by not doing any action. has to be achieved through chitta shuddhi, which is through nishkama karmam. So only through nishkama karmam or arpana karmam we can attain the state of naishkarmyam. We cannot directly jump into naishkarmyam by remaining akarma. Akarma means without doing any karma. So the state of state wherein a person is not doing any karma. So such a state, like we cannot be in, or we cannot directly jump into such a state. So having said that, so what about jnana? What about a person who does sannyasam of all karma? Okay, I am not starting any karma, but what if I renounce all karma? Will I realize? Nacha sannyasanadeva, sannyasanadeva siddhim na samadhi gacchati. Such a person, siddhim, moksha, he doesn't attain merely by renouncing or renunciation of action. So that means it's not the both the extreme. So we may think, okay, not doing action will I realize in the karma, like in one of the marga, in or like pravritti and nevritti. So both the fault in both of those is karma. So either I'll not do karma at all, or I will renounce karma. Both of that is not possible. So renunciation of action should happen through jnanam, cannot happen automatically. And merely by renunciation of action, a person will not realize, because such a person needs chitta shuddhi through karma. So we cannot think that we can overcome karma. We can overcome karma by merely not doing it or by renouncing it. Renunciation should happen automatic. So the example that comes to mind is like a ripe fruit. It automatically falls off from the tree. We don't need to pluck it. But if we pluck a fruit, then it may not be as ripe as the fruit that automatically falls. That's why the fruits that automatically fall, people run to take or grab that fruit. So similarly, with respect to karma, we cannot say that I'll not do karma and thereby realize that is not going to happen, and I'll renounce karma, therefore I'll realize. Both of those, like we have examples of people who are doing both. There are people who don't do any action, who are just like sitting in a place and controlling things. So such people don't realize. A person who is just sitting in a cave and just sitting there without doing any action, even like beggars who don't do any action, they are not realized just because they don't do any action. Similarly, we also have people like sannyasis who have renounced all actions. It's not starting action, but it is renouncing action. So renunciation, you see many sannyasis who have renounced actions, but still they are not realized, because they don't have chitta shuddhi and jnanam. So the proper path is chitta shuddhi and jnanam. We cannot say I'll overcome one, or I don't need one, I don't need both. It's not possible that way. So person who is in the pravritti margam, he gains chitta shuddhi and thereby will be directed to nivritti. Person in the nivritti margam, he already has chitta shuddhi. Such a person alone is capable of following the nivritti margam. Therefore, he will also realize. Whereas a person who thinks he can work around karma, so this is where like Krishna is telling Arjuna, you were thinking that you can get over karma. You were thinking that you can work around karma by not doing it, by escaping from it, like by not doing it or by renouncing it, either of the way you thought it, but it's not possible. So it's not at all possible that you can overcome karma, and if you shouldn't do it. So Krishna will say in the next shloka that we cannot overcome karma, we cannot work around karma. But in this shloka he says, even if you think you can work around karma by not doing it or by renouncing it, still if you think you will gain moksha through it, then you are wrong. You cannot gain moksha merely by not doing action or by renouncing action. So it is not with respect to, like, it's not with respect to whether we do action or whether we don't do action that moksha is determined. Moksha is not determined by whether we do action or whether we don't do action, but it is determined by the mental purity, by the chitta shuddhi and the jnanam that we have gained. That is more important than merely not doing action or renouncing action. So that is what Krishna is telling here. Na karmana anarambha, it's a very important shloka. A person who thinks he can overcome karma, or a person who thinks he can realize, he can gain moksha by merely not doing karma or by renouncing karma, he thinks of working around, it will not happen. So we may be able to escape from the world, we may be able to escape from our parents, but at some point of time, some other thing will come in front of us. We have to face things in the proper light. So we cannot say that, oh, if I join Chinmaya Mission, then I won't have all these problems. Problems will still be there in Chinmaya Mission. So we can't escape from problems, but we'll be like, the problems will change form. Problems will change. So the environment and the people involved in the problem, that will change, but the problem will still remain. We cannot nullify, we cannot get rid of problem just by working around it, just by renouncing. So we have to face things. Unless we face things, we'll not be able to overcome it. So that's also another important or indirect aspect that Krishna is mentioning here. We may think we can overcome certain things by just getting away from it, just by getting away from the world, just getting away from the person, ignoring the person, ignoring a person or ignoring tendencies. Certain places is valid, but if we want to conquer, like if we want to conquer our drinking, our addiction to drinking by staying away from the bar, then it's not a right solution. It may work for one day, it may work for 1 month, it may work for 1 year, but at some point of time, whenever the situation comes, we will again fall into it. So that is what is the meaning here. Like if we try to run away from things, it will not help us. We have to face things. So that's where the statement comes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not, we cannot run away from the devil because he will find us. So that is another indirect point that Krishna mentions here, that we cannot run away from situations and say, if I get away from it, I'll be spiritual, I'll be in the spiritual path, I'll be a mumukshu, and I'll realize that it's not possible. We have to face it. And that facing has to happen from our mind. It has to happen internally, because unless it happens internally, it is just an influence which will vanish after some time. So here, in this chapter, Krishna is again like bringing out different facets of karma. Though karma is mithya, karma is unreal, Brahman alone is real. If a person has to realize that, then he cannot realize that by just saying, I'll not do karma. The moment I say, I won't do karma, I'll not start karma, that itself means we are giving importance to karma. We are considering karma as real. Whereas a person who knows Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, he will know that karma is mithya. So karma is mithya, therefore I will not bother. Let it come or let it go. I'll try to find out which way, whether by doing karma or by renouncing karma, it is helping me in the spiritual path. My spiritual path is without any obstacle if I am renouncing karma or if I am doing karma. That a person will find out, and depending on that, he will let things happen. So rather than trying to overcome karma, knowing that karma is mithya, karma is unreal, that gives us the strength to deal with karma in the right way. Whether I have to renounce karma or whether I have to offer it. Such an attitude will be there if we understand that karma is mithya. So that it all comes back to that thing that karma is mithya. Karma or jagat is mithya. That the conviction for that should grow. So when the conviction for jagan mithya or karma mithya grows, then automatically we will be able to decide as to what path or what nishtha we need to take, and that will lead us to the goal of Brahma Satyam. That will lead us to moksha. We will not be running away, we will not be trying to work around things, we will be facing things in the right way, because we have knowledge. We have knowledge that karma is mithya. So that is also that is a very important thing to be remembered while learning the entire shlokas of this chapter. If we don't remember that karma is mithya, then we will very easily get deluded. So we have to remember it always. We'll continue in the next day. Hari Om.